You're locked in to Elevated Radio FM. Radio FM. Radio.
And welcome to Elevated Radio. My name is Rick Delgado. I'm your host, and welcome to Our Beliefs Define Our Universe with our guest, Ellie Rosell. Ellie, she is the owner over at Core Belief Engineering. You can reach out to her a couple different ways. Best way to do so, though, I think would be the website, corebelief.ca. That's core, C-O-R-E, belief. .ca. You can also reach out to her by phone. Main number there is 604-536-7402, and you can find out more by either picking up the phone or finding out online from our guest. Once again, welcoming back Ellie Rosell. Ellie, welcome back to the program. How are you today?
Thank you, Rick. I'm very well, thank you.
All right. Well, great to hear. Great to hear, and thank you for taking the time and jumping on with us. Now, before we get rolling, I know we've had one conversation already. It was kind of a get-to-know-you, Ellie. Today, we'll take some more deeper dives into the work you do. But for those people that may have missed our first conversation, do me a favor. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Okay. I'll be as brief as possible on this. The method that I'm using, I developed myself since about the time I researched and developed it in the early 80s and late 80s, and have been teaching and practicing it ever since. It's a method of reaching into the mind, the psyche, and changing very deeply seated beliefs that can rock your universe if you change them.
Well, yeah. Now, when you talk about this, I want to say process, or how would you describe it? This method that you developed, right?
Right. I would call it a process.
Okay.
Even though it's not something that's in tight little boxes, you know, like it's not mechanical. It's very, very organic in that it's a talk. It's a talk therapy where I have you ask a question inside, and we deal with whatever answers come up, even no answers coming up, and we work with that inner questioning, inner accessing, till we find not only the sticking points, but also where the energy is to actually shift it.
Right, because all those thoughts, they come from somewhere.
That's right. Absolutely. Right. They come from our society. They come from our parents. They come from our grandparents and ancestors. They come from our peer group. They come from media. Even if you believe in past lives, I mean, some of these, you know, come through. It appears to be coming through and repeating until we learn our lessons.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I've heard of that, and that's pretty interesting. Is that something you delve into as well?
Well, if necessary.
Okay.
It's not something that I actively go after, because I realize that, you know, a person may not even have a belief or accept it. You know, they may be to believe in past lives or other lives is like very much, you know, against anything they consider possible.
Right.
But sometimes even people who don't believe it's possible, when we're working, their mind opens up to some interesting phenomena that would indicate that there could be another existence, that is possibly affecting this one.
Right.
And some people would call that karma. I don't know what I would call it. It could be karma. It could be. It could just be simply that we're tapping into something that Jung called collective unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really matter what it is. I'm looking for results.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what people are after as well. So if they can find something like this that can help deliver them the results without, you know, regular talk therapy, which has gone, you know, which can be effective for some people, but let's face it, it has that stigma of taking a very long time.
That's right, and this can take let's put it this way, I've learned one thing important, that just because it's not fast or is fast, you know, if it really works, that's what counts. And so, I mean, I do think fast is good, because who wants to spend all of their life struggling through some terrible limitation? But it's funny when people actually have limitations like physical handicaps. It's amazing how their core beliefs can drive them to be very successful in their lives.
Right. Yeah. And if you've got the right core beliefs, then you're set. It's the core beliefs that end up not serving you.
That's right.
Those are the ones that you can work on, right?
Exactly. And I think that when people, people don't realize what it really means to change a belief. It's like when you're a child, you might believe in Santa Claus, but when you're an adult, you don't. But that may just be a superficial example, but that belief may still linger in the psyche. And even if it doesn't, there's that sort of, maybe there's the memory of being very, very crestfallen and disappointed and betrayed when you find out that they lied to you about Santa Claus.
Oh my! I was just about to say Santa Claus. Oh, mm-hmm. Ellie, we're on the same wavelength.
Yes, we are.
Now, let me ask you this. So how would you define, for everybody out there, a belief?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a really good question. Usually the first answer I've got is that it is the premise from which everything else comes. If you think of logic, there's always a premise. And there's a premise by which we stand on it. We stand on it, and from there we create a reality. If you, for example, have a belief or a premise that I don't really believe that I'm a good person, then there may be various different things you do because of that belief. You may overcompensate and become a saint.
Right.
Or you may become a criminal because, oh, well, what the hell?
Yeah.
Might as well be a criminal.
Yeah, if you've got the belief that, oh, well, I'm a terrible person anyway, I might as well just go with it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But a belief is a premise, and we have hundreds of words in our language that indicate that we're dealing with a belief. When you hear somebody say, well, that's just who I am, that's just the way I am,
yeah.
You know, I'm not the kind of person who, you know, these kind of statements, usually right after those phrases, you'll hear somebody state, you know, what they believe about themselves or what they believe about life. And the beliefs we hold are not always conscious, but the evidence of them is there. The evidence of beliefs is often there, even when you don't know exactly what it is you're believing. We know what we should believe.
Right.
You know, the affirmations we're given many good statements. You know, you should have good self-esteem. We should have this. And, you know, as far as how we should be and how we should celebrate other people's success. And yet we still find ourselves getting jealous or, you know, we're not celebrating other people's success.
Right.
And we may sabotage our own success or feel embarrassed. You know, some people cannot accept success because it puts them in the limelight in a way that would possibly expose another core belief that I'm not really good enough.
Now, is it your belief that pretty much comes from our childhood and things we pick up mm-hmm. along the way?
Well, you know, that's another good question because, yes, it does. A lot of things do come from our childhood. And at the same time, a lot of the beliefs we are living by are not our own. They're beliefs that we adopted, absorbed from our parents or from our school or from society. And quite a few of our beliefs are not consciously chosen. They're consciously defended, but we have not gone and said, yes, that's exactly what I believe. And so it's more, this is what is expected of us.
Right.
So a lot of our beliefs are not truly self-chosen.
And sometimes they end up making no sense when you ask someone and you drill down and say, well, why do you believe that? And it might go against everything they say that they believe,
exactly.
But then they've got this core belief that's holding them back.
That's right. And this is the interesting thing, the layers of belief. You may consciously believe something different than what your subconscious is holding true. And that watching for those contradictions is an important aspect of becoming conscious, because where are we saying, you know, I should have good self-esteem, but at the same time, please don't give me any compliments.
Because I can't handle that. I can't handle
That's
that
right.
kind of positive pressure.
right. If I succeed, then everybody's going to expect me to succeed all the time.
Right.
Or, you know, the pressure of that, or just simply someone will be jealous and sabotage me.
Right. Now, you bring up an interesting point right there with the sabotage, because I know a lot of us do that. We self-sabotage.
Right.
Is that something you can help people overcome as well, Ellie?
Yes. In fact, it's exactly what I help people with very often, because the act of self-sabotage, again, is not usually conscious. It's usually a different part of the mind that's, well, it's afraid of what we are headed for. It's like we're safe in this nice, safe little limited place. And as soon as we start stretching past that, reaching past that, those fears come up, and oftentimes the person will be aware that they're having fear, but they're not realizing that fear is actually going to stop them from moving past a certain point.
Right.
I've seen a lot of people who just, they have a ceiling. It's not just the women who have a ceiling. People in general will have a ceiling.
Right.
And it's literally a culturally or a familial or a tribal kind of limitation, and it's just the way it is.
Yeah, and it's amazing how those things get ingrained in us, and it's tough to,
yes,
to sometimes pull it apart and figure out, you know, what it is exactly. Why are you acting a certain way? When you get a certain point, like you said, you hit that ceiling where, okay, now you're moving into maybe uncharted territory in terms of how you feel about something. Maybe it's about money or a relationship, and you just start to self-sabotage.
That's right. It's like, for example, a person may be very, very lonely and want to have a relationship, and yet every time they approach that possibility, they'll attract somebody who's unavailable emotionally, or who's, you know, just not very honest, or even if they're a perfect match, they'll find something wrong with them.
I remember a guy, Ellie, who remember him talking about this, going, you know what, this, she's perfect, she does this, she does that, she's everything. And I saw the back of her knees, and I was just like, oh, I can't. And that was his rationale for getting out of that relationship.
Wow, the back of her knees.
Back of her knees. Oh, my goodness, that's a deal breaker. I had no idea.
Isn't that wild? It's the total non sequitur, but if people need to be out of it, they will.
Right.
They will.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think is really important is we often question, is this something that I decided when I was a child? Is this something I learned from my parents?
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that's hanging over from another existence? Or, how do I, and also, how do I change it? How?
Right.
How do we actually change it? And
right,
that's what my whole research and attempt at, you know, with working with people has been,
right,
is, you know, results.
Yeah, exactly.
How do we get there?
How do we get there? We're going to tackle that after the break, okay, Ellie?
Thank you.
So you got it. Again, we're
bye-bye
with our guest, Ellie Rosell, on this edition of Our Beliefs Define Our Universe. If you do want to reach out to her, great lady. She can talk to you on the phone, or you can reach her through the website, corebelief.ca. That's corebelief.ca. Or give her a call, 604-536-7402. Quick break, like I said, more with her after these words, right here on Elevated Radio.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our safety. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Charlotte on the night of the big Christmas party. Doesn't she look gorgeous, curled up on the sofa with a rotten cold? If only she'd taken Vicks First Defense Microgel Nasal Spray at the first sign of that cold. She could have helped trap the virus and stop it in its tracks. Still, there's always New Year's Eve.
Attack is the best form of defense. Now available at most Boots stores. Vicks First Defense Microgel Nasal Spray is not recommended for use in flu. Always read the leaflet.
On a Cape Cod shore, 16 striped bass fish and a horseshoe crab were found dead, killed by a harmful algal bloom. The town blamed excessive lawn fertilizer for polluting the water. They restricted lawn fertilizing to once a year. The state overruled, mandating 5 times a year. Though the striped bass died on a Falmouth shore, fertilizer pollution is a national problem, clogging our waterways. If you believe in our rights to clean water and beaches, if you want to stop the killing of fish by excessive fertilizer, please join with us. Make a donation for responsible stewardship. Acting together, we can have clean beaches and more fish. Please visit www.donateforoceans.org. That is www.donate4oceans.org.
You're locked in to Elevated Radio FM. Radio FM.
And welcome back to Elevated Radio again. My name is Rick Delgado. I'm your host. We are here with our guest Ellie Rosell on this edition of Our Beliefs Define Our Universe. And we're talking about Core Beliefs because that's the name of her company. She's the founder of Core Belief Engineering. You can reach out to her through that website, like I mentioned, corebelief.ca. That's C-O-R-E, belief.ca, or give her a call directly. She's more than happy to take your call at 604-536-7402. And again, Ellie, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and we were just talking about those core beliefs and how, you know, what they make us do and how we end up self-sabotaging. And now, the good stuff. How do we conquer it? How do we change them?
This is such a good, this is the million-dollar question.
Yes.
Because there's lots and lots and lots and lots of people who are offering now to change core beliefs. And there are many different methods. I mean, some of them are very mechanical. Like if you do muscle testing and tapping and so forth, you can mechanically shift something in the neurology.
Right.
I find those ways are somewhat, I think they're effective depending on where the person's at the time.
Right.
And then there are the talk therapy methods and sometimes meditation and spiritual, you know, practices are working towards this. But I don't think, what I really look for in those in people who are offering to change core beliefs, I'm asking, what are their core beliefs?
Right.
What are they believing? What do they believe is possible? And what is their model of reality that they're helping people towards? And I've tried very hard to keep that clean in my model, in that it's important for people to choose what they believe. And can I unconsciously influence them? Of course I can. But
right.
I do my best to stay as neutral and supportive as possible of them discovering what's true for their own inner core. But how you change, I believe it takes many different types of approach. I think the mechanical approaches are helpful. I think the cognitive approaches are helpful. And this, which is a inner dialoguing approach, is also, I think, very powerful, in that people will wake up the next day after they work with me and find that things aren't quite the same. Like suddenly they're making different choices.
Right.
The inner dialoguing and the guided inner dialoguing and questioning that I do in this method goes to a level where people are, it's mapping a subjective reality. They may be conscious of it, but it's not at forefront in their mind as important. Sometimes when the answers come from the questioning, a person will say, "Oh, I already knew that." Well, yeah, you did, but you weren't paying any attention to it.
Right.
You didn't realize the importance of it. I've had people who had serious traumas, and they've done other kinds of, you know, conventional and unconventional therapies with healing their traumas, but they've forgotten to look at what kinds of real deep decisions they made and conclusions they came to because of the trauma.
Right.
It's the trauma itself is healable, but the more, even more important, or just as important and then more important, is the actual shifting of how I see life because of this.
Well, now when you are, you know, working with somebody, Ellie, in that realm, now you're trying to access and then change those core beliefs.
Yes.
I'm assuming, And maybe I'm right or wrong, probably wrong. But you're probably going to just tackle one at a time, right? Can you do multiples of that, or is it let's just tackle this and focus on it and make sure we get the result?
Well, the thing is, people usually don't know the core belief they want to change. They just know they have a symptom. So when we work on it, when we go in to the mind by way of the doorway of a symptom, which might be afraid of public speaking. It could be anything. I can't make any money. But that's the symptom. So we look at the symptom, which gives us the clue that something's off, something's, behind it. And so, yes, we might come across, 10 different subsidiary core beliefs. And there may be one core belief, but there would be 4 or 5 or 6, maybe 10 other beliefs that are supporting that. So that's all. Yes, I do work with multiple core beliefs at the same time. I don't look for them per se, but when the orientation we're looking for is how do people believe it? What do they believe about life in general? Because right. That's a very big or basic belief. And what do you believe about yourself? And what do you believe about other people? Hmm. Those are three big orienting questions, and those could be all the same core belief, or they could be different.
Right. Now, once you have, because like you said, it's not easy to get to the core belief sometimes with a lot of people, because let's face it, it's a trust thing too. I think it's one of those things where it's like we're protecting ourselves. We don't want to give away too much information. We don't want to look too weak or something like that, right, Ellie? And
right.
But then once you do identify it. Right.
Yes.
And that's when all of a sudden you can start to see those changes.
Right. And the trust really that needs to be gained is trust of themselves, because it might be, I don't know if I trust other people to judge me or not judge me. But the bottom line, if I'm judging me, then their judgment is going to really hurt.
Right. Well, I can definitely identify with that. I judge people all the time and I know they judge me.
Sure. And that'll always be. That
right.
will always be. But because people think. If we weren't thinking beings and if we don't have opinions, we compare this to that and this, one thing wins over another. It's pretty normal. It's just when it's crippling. That's when it's a question. There's nothing wrong with all the variety of what we have in our humanity until we start harming ourselves and harming others.
Right.
It's like we're all nutcases in a way, in a good sense.
Okay, I can buy into that too.
But a good thing is in that if people are all the same, then it's just a boring world.
Right. Now, what about because I'm of the belief, and you tell me if this is something you've seen as well.
Sure.
That once you start to verbalize things,
mm-hmm.
that can really take a lot of that mystique or that power away from them. Because now it's like, once you hear something, you might have an inner thought and think, oh my goodness, this is terrible. And then you say it, you actually hear it, and it
right.
comes out of your mouth. You're like, that's not as tough as I thought that was going to be.
Yes.
You know what
true.
I mean?
And behind that fear of revealing it, but behind that fear is a fear of being judged and found less. And it's a belief we hold about other people that they are going to judge us in a negative way and we're going to be ostracized or abandoned or,
right.
Not loved. And, of course, we all want to be loved. We
right.
all want to be included.
and you know what, Jen? I was going to say, just right there, that
mm-hmm.
I think is probably one of those times when somebody says, I love you for the first time to someone else. Oh my
right.
goodness, talk about judged. And then are they going to reciprocate? Are they going to say back? Are they going to, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
Right.
Thank you is not the answer.
Right. But, the thank you can be an answer, but yeah, if I hear you, that's right. And the thing is that what are our beliefs about love itself? Love is a trap. Love is a way to control another person. Love is a way to accept and totally unconditionally love a person or accept.
Yeah.
Is it trust? It's many, many things, and some people have a very bad orientation to love because they've seen examples of betrayal and using That would, you know, there could be some caution around love. Right. Or, you know, again, that can be learned from a parent as well.
Right.
A certain reserve and a certain coolness may communicate a, you know, keep your distance.
Well, yeah, because maybe you've been burned a few times. So now that's your experience. And,
exactly.
You know, that's your core belief that, you know what, no matter how I've tried to, you know, be in a good relationship and love the person, they've always come back to screw me over.
Right. They're just using, or they've and generally we get into relationships because of, we attract a certain relationship because there's something we need to learn.
Right.
And also there may be core beliefs we share in common. In the belief world, like attracts like. And so if there's a terrible fear of something, chances are the other person is going to have a deeply seated fear as well. And then that gets acted out in the process of the development of their relationship, which is unfortunate. But I one of the antidotes to the betrayals of fear of love is to truly learn to love oneself. And I mean, not in an egotistical, arrogant, you know, I'm okay and you're not okay way, but to truly have the compassion and the breadth of acceptance of ourselves, that we're, you know, we are human beings, we're children of God, we're, you know, we each have something to offer, and we're doing our best, and forgiveness of ourselves. I mean, these kinds of things are really important in self-love. And when you feel okay, it's not that when you love yourself, it's not going to hurt when somebody rejects you, but it's not going to break you.
Right. Yeah, that's the last thing we need. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
If you give your heart to someone and then they break you, that's a whole nother round of therapy there, Ellie.
That's right, exactly. It certainly is. And this is, you know, life ongoing, right? And I do feel that people can recover from broken hearts. I think broken hearts can mend, but it does take some self-searching as to what have I learned, what am I supposed to learn from these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And part of my model is to look at, you know, what are the benefits, what are the learning, what's the necessity to learn, what do I need to learn from this so that I don't repeat it.
Right. Yeah, because let's face it, the last thing we want to do is, you know, be considered insane. You know, we're repeating the same activity or the same thing over and over, but it's going to turn out differently this time.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And quite often people don't love themselves, so they're looking for love from others, and that's all they've got is when somebody loves them, that's all they have to hang on to.
Right.
It's the only thing, so therefore it does break
yeah.
a lot harder than if you actually say, okay, well, that hurt, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If you can kind of compartmentalize things and look at things without that emotion involved, it'll be easier for you to make that determination. Be like, okay, you know what? I think I'm gonna be okay from this. Yeah, it's gonna hurt for a while, you know,
right.
and I'm still gonna hear those sad songs. They're always gonna come up on the radio just at the wrong time.
Right.
You know, or I'm going to see something that reminds me of him or her, and it's going to just, and then I'm going to fall to pieces. But, you know, it's something to recover
yes.
from.
Well, it's important to use our rational minds as well as our emotional minds, and it's important to use both. And like you say, it's even more than compartmentalizing. It's saying, okay, right now, if I get caught in how much it's hurting, then I'm just going to wallow in hurt for I don't know how long. But
right.
you still have to go through the emotion of it. You need to go through it,
but at
the same time, understand there's more, there's deeper, you know, it will pass.
Right.
I mean, something that I've noticed, for example, is people who are depressed usually have a terrible phobia, almost a fear of being disappointed. So they don't ever dare get their hopes up for fear they're going to be disappointed. And it's a big theme. It's not all depression, but it's, you know, people say, well, what's the use?
Right.
What's the use?
Yeah.
Why go forward? It's going to fail anyway. So it's a way to protect from the disappointment of failure. But in fact, when you think about it, if you really kind of step back, disappointments happen all the time, and they are temporary. And if you have a different core belief, like a core belief that I can recover, I can learn from everything I do, and that disappointment is a temporary situation, then you can get through disappointment without getting depressed.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That would be the Holy Grail right there, Ellie. If you can help people do that, let me tell you, go through something like that and not be depressed. Again, our guest has been Ellie Rosell. You want to find out more about her and the work that she does and helping you deal with the things that could be holding you back and change those core beliefs? Well, then reach out to her. She's the founder of Core Belief Engineering. She's based out of White Rock, British Columbia in Canada. If you want to find out more about the work she does, go to her website. It's corebelief.ca, C-O-R-E, belief.ca, or give her a call directly, 604-536-7402. What can I say? Ellie, great stuff today. Thank you so much.
Thank you too, Rick. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. A lot of great stuff that we covered. If you're just tuning in and missed it, well, then you can listen to it back on the replay. In the meantime, we'll talk next week. Till then, have a great week, Ellie, and we'll be back with more on Elevated Radio right after these words.
You're locked in to Elevated Radio FM. Radio FM. Radio FM.